Colonel Aureliano Buendia also went to the street door and mingled with the bystanders who were watching the parade. He saw a woman dressed in gold sitting on the head of an elephant. He saw a sad dromedary. He saw a bear dressed like a Dutch girl keeping time to the music with a soup spoon and a pan. He saw the clowns doing cartwheels at the end of the parade, and once more he saw the face of his miserable solitude when everything had passed by, and there was nothing but the bright expanse of the street and the air full of flying ants, with a few onlookers peering into the precipice of uncertainty. Then he went to the chestnut tree, thinking about the circus, and while he urinated, he tried to keep on thinking about the circus, but he could no longer find the memory. He pulled his head in between his shoulders like a baby chick and remained motionless with his forehead against the trunk of the chestnut tree. The family did not find him until the following day at 11 o'clock in the morning, when Santa Sofia de la Piedad went to throw out the garbage in back, and her attention was attracted by the descending vultures. Meme's last vacations coincided with the period of mourning for Colonel Aureliano Buendia. The shuttered house was no place for parties. They spoke in whispers, ate in silence, recited the rosary 3 times a day, and even clavichord practice during the heat of siesta time had a funereal echo. In spite of her secret hostility toward the colonel, it was Fernanda who imposed the rigor of that mourning, impressed by the solemnity with which the government exalted the memory of its dead enemy. Aureliano II, as was his custom, came back to sleep in the house during his daughter's vacation, and Fernanda must have done something to regain her privileges as his legitimate wife, because the following year Meme found a newborn little sister who, against the wishes of her mother, had been baptized with the name Amaranta Úrsula. Meme had finished her course of study. The diploma that certified her as a concert clavichordist was ratified by the virtuosity with which she executed popular melodies of the 17th century at the gathering organized to celebrate the completion of her studies, and with which the period of mourning came to an end. More than her art, the guests admired her duality. Her frivolous and even slightly infantile character did not seem up to any serious activity, but when she sat down at the clavichord, she became a different girl, one whose unforeseen maturity gave her the air of an adult. That was how she had always been. She really did not have any definite vocation, but she had earned the highest grades by means of an inflexible discipline simply in order not to annoy her mother. They could have imposed on her an apprenticeship in any other field, and the results would have been the same. Since she had been very small, she had been troubled by Fernanda's strictness, her custom of deciding in favor of extremes, and she would have been capable of a much more difficult sacrifice than the clavichord lessons, merely not to run up against her intransigence. During the graduation ceremonies, she had the impression that the parchment with Gothic letters and illuminated capitals was freeing her from a compromise that she had accepted not so much out of obedience as out of convenience, and she thought that from then on not even the insistent Fernanda would worry any more about an instrument that even the nuns looked upon as a museum fossil. During the first year she thought that her calculations were mistaken, because after she had put half the town to sleep, not only in the parlor but also at all charitable functions, school ceremonies, and patriotic celebrations that took place in Macondo, her mother still invited to the house every newcomer whom she thought capable of appreciating her daughter's virtues. Only after the death of Amaranta, when the family shut itself up again in a period of mourning, was Meme able to lock the clavichord and forget the key in some dresser drawer without Fernanda's being annoyed on finding out when and through whose fault it had been lost. Meme bore up under the exhibitions with the same stoicism that she had dedicated to her apprenticeship. It was the price of her freedom. Fernanda was so pleased with her docility and so proud of the admiration that her art inspired that she was never against the house being full of girlfriends, her spending the afternoon in the groves, and going to the movies with Aureliano II or some trusted lady, as long as the film was approved by Father Antonio Isabel from the pulpit. During those moments of relaxation, Meme's real tastes were revealed. Her happiness lay at the other extreme from discipline, in noisy parties, in gossip about lovers, in prolonged sessions with her girlfriends, where they learned to smoke and talked about male business, and where they once got their hands on some cane liquor and ended up naked, measuring and comparing the parts of their bodies. Meme would never forget that night when she arrived home chewing licorice lozenges, and without noticing their consternation, sat down at the table where Fernanda and Amaranta were eating dinner without saying a word to each other. She had spent two tremendous hours in the bedroom of a girlfriend, weeping with laughter and fear, and beyond all crises, she had found the rare feeling of bravery that she needed in order to run away from school and tell her mother in one way or another that she could use the clavichord as an enema. Sitting at the head of the table, drinking a chicken broth that landed in her stomach like an elixir of resurrection, Meme then saw Fernanda and Amaranta wrapped in an accusatory halo of reality. She had to make a great effort not to throw at them their prissiness, their poverty of spirit, their delusions of grandeur. From the time of her second vacation, she had known that her father was living at home only in order to keep up appearances, and knowing Fernanda as she did, and having arranged later to meet Petracotes, she thought that her father was right.